Special blessing on our day, on our week, and we'll give you all the praise. Bless now in a Sunday school hour in the name of Christ. Amen. Praise Lord. Everyone, you may be seated. Appreciate again, Brother Fielder. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're right. Now, you were on my list of people to call, and I never got to it. Brother Fielder is going to go ahead and teach a Bible lesson in our Sunday school.
Sunday school, I'm glad you're here. Yes. Would it be good if everyone ever came to Sunday school today? And the morning service, the evening service. I've said this in a lot of churches. When I was pastoring, I longed for the time when I would see all my members together in one service. I'm just asking for one. I never did see that. Now I'm hoping I'll see them all in heaven.
Yeah.
Look back now, I'm not sure about some of them. In Psalm chapter 1, there are 6 verses there, and we'll go over those verses, and we'll go to our heads and pray and ask God's blessing on those. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law to meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he may do shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but like the chaff which the wind drives of the wind. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor are sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord will not know the way of the righteous. The way of the ungodly shall perish. And let's bow our heads and pray again. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity we have to be in the Lord's house, anywhere, especially here. For these dear folk that have gathered here this morning for the Sunday morning service. Pray that you would help us to deduct something from this that would be profitable to us, and edify us, and challenge us, motivate us, and something that would bring glory to Christ in our lives. Help me love these people now, I pray. As I minister to them, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For way of introduction, there are 2 things we find in the book of Psalms. First of all, we find a confirmation of the fact that God blesses right. And God blights and brings judgment on the wrong. God blesses righteousness and God judges unrighteousness. The book of Psalms reveals that among hundreds of other things. And the Bible says in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We're going to reap what we sow. God blesses righteousness and God judges unrighteousness. And that verse is just as true as John 3:16 is. Anyway, we also find a contradiction of our way of thinking, aside from this confirmation I mentioned. See, most people, if they'd just be honest with you, and some even would, they would tell you that it's okay to keep the 10 commandments, but if you're going to try to do everything God tells you to do in the Bible, you're going to have a narrow, joyless, useless life. And you're not going to enjoy your life. You're not going to have a full life. You're not going to have an abundant life. And the truth is, that's not the truth. The truth is, the happiest, most fulfilled people you'll ever know in your life are people that are trying to live according to the Word of God. And I've said this often. I've probably said it more times than one this week. Our Bible is the manual for the operation of this very complex thing we're doing called living. And you can't live good without it. You can't live good without it. A person would be foolish, and a lot of people are, that would order a complex piece of machinery, never seen it, don't know anything about it, open it up, try to make it work without reading the instructions. A lot of people do that, but that's foolish. Life is more complex than we can even imagine, folks. And God wrote a manual for the operation of our lives. And we can't operate our lives. You can't have a good life without going by the instruction manual. That makes sense, doesn't it? Now, for instance, God blesses righteousness. I mentioned that. The word blessed is found 49 times in the book of Psalms. And it means happy and prosperous by the Lord's definition. Not by man's definition. Not by man's ideas, but by God's definition. The Bible said, Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts the nation, but sins are reproached to his people. And the Bible said in Isaiah 16, verse 12, for the nation and the kingdom they will not serve, they shall perish, and those nations shall be utterly wasted. The Bible said in Psalm 33, verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And if you'd like to know why, in simple terms, you have lived in the greatest experiment of human government in all of history. And that's the reason for it. God had an opportunity to bless the nation. And America has been blessed more than any nation in all of history, of the history of nations. Never been a nation like America. Never been a nation like America. There are third world nations around our world. And Jesus said, the poor you have always with you. But there will always be third world nations because the Lord is not their God. And God is in no position to bless a nation when the Lord is not their God. And he doesn't. If we loaded all the provisions in America on barges and ships and unloaded those on the shores of third world nations, poverty-stricken nations, where they're just pagans, as soon as they devoured that, they'd be on starvation again because God is in no position to bless a nation when the Lord is not their God. Roger Babson was somewhat of a statistician. And someone asked him one time, said, why has America, North America, prospered unequaled and unsurpassed by any nation in all of history when South America, that has more than one natural resources, has languished in poverty all of these years? Why is that? He gave me almost a sensible answer. He said, because when the Spaniards came to South America, they came there seeking gold. When the Pilgrims came to North America, they came there seeking God. It gave God an opportunity to bless a nation like no nation's ever been blessed. Now, let me add something to that. You probably thought about this, but in case you haven't, I'll mention it to you. For 6,000 years of history, that's what America, the world has, 6,000 years. For 6,000 years, nothing changed. Motor transportation didn't change. It's beast of burden, sail ship on the sea, perhaps. Nothing changed. Everything stayed the same pretty much for 6,000 years until God blessed America. Things began to change. The full steam engine was invented. The combustion engine was invented. Cars, trucks, trains, planes, technology, all those things came into play after God blessed America. Now, America is not responsible for every jot and tittle of it, but America is responsible for the vast majority of it. And a lot of it's been stolen from America. And I can elaborate on that. I don't have time to do that now. But the Bible says Psalm 34:8, verse 10, again, blessed is the nation that trusteth in him. Psalm 112 and verse 1, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth in the great in his commandments. Psalm 119 and verse 1, blessed are the undefiled quick. God pronounces a blessing on righteousness. You know, if we just get that through our heads, amen, and conduct ourselves on that basis, we'd be a lot better off, wouldn't we? God's going to bless righteousness. but he's going to judge unrighteousness. He judges it in time and eternity. But God blesses righteousness. God brings judgment on unrighteousness. I'm going to give you some verses. Mine said in Psalm 7:11, God is angry with the wicked every day. And so what does that say in the Hebrew? Same thing, amen. God is angry with the wicked every day. He is angry with the sodomites. He's angry with the fornicators. He's angry with the adulterers. He's angry with the thieves. The ungodly. God is angry. That doesn't mean he doesn't love them. It doesn't mean he won't save them if they call upon him in repentance and faith. But he's angry with them. And I'll tell you this. If you're going to have somebody angry at you, try your best not to have God angry at you, because you don't need him angry at you, brother. I want to tell you, having God angry at you is a serious matter. Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell of all the nations that forget God. Nations. Psalm 32:10, many sorrows shall be for the wicked. Psalm 34:21, evil shall slay the wicked. And what that translates into is this. The thing that the wicked thinks will bring them fulfillment and a good life brings them many sorrows and death. Am I telling you the truth, amen?
Yeah.
These are plain, simple truths. Of course, the world doesn't know much about them. The Bible said in Psalm 37:20, but the wicked shall perish. If you're thought about this, four of the leading causes of death in America are self-inflicted. AIDS. The vast majority of people that die of AIDS is because of illicit sexual activity or illegal drug use. Now, I know there's some exceptions, but I'm talking about the vast majority. Lung cancer. Most of the people who die of lung cancer do that because they smoked so many years of their life until it has destroyed their lungs. Cirrhosis of the liver. In most cases, I said most cases, imbibing beverage alcohol. Now, there are some exceptions. And maybe some others. But I all of us want to be blessed. That means, what did I say that means? Somebody tell me what that means. Say it seven.
Happy and prosperous.
What do you say?
Important. Happy and.
Happy and prosperous.
Prosperous.
That's right. We all want to be blessed. In Psalm chapter 1 is characteristic of the entire book. Now, it's like a preface to the preface of this book. For instance, verses 1 through 3 declares the blessings of God on the righteous, and verses 4 through 6 declares God's judgment on the unrighteous. You may have verse 4 starts off, but the ungodly are not so. After he talks about all the blessing on the righteous, verse 4, but the ungodly are not so. In other words, it's not like that with the ungodly. Anyway, I'm giving some things this morning to think about. Three things particularly. And maybe I won't go into overtime. First of all, they're the reasons the righteous are blessed. Number one, he doesn't seek the counsel of the world to live by. Counsel of the wicked. Well, verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And there are a lot of good reasons for that. The truth is, we need counsel, don't we? None of us are so smart that we have it all figured out. I read about this lady the other day that advertised her. She's selling all of her encyclopedias. So I said, why are you selling those? She said, my husband knows everything. That's probably not a joke. It probably was happening. But we need counsel. Proverbs 11:14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in multitude of counselors are sick. I like what somebody said about these people that think they know it all. One fellow said, these people think they know it all really bother us to do. Now, I'll tell you this. If you have a good Bible education, you already have a well-educated individual. Because all the secrets of success and the principles of progress come from this book. You know what the Bible said in Joshua 8? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, and thou shalt meditate there and day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. And all the principles of progress and the secrets of success emanate from God's book. The Bible said in Psalm 119, verse 24, thy testimonies are also my delight, and my counselors. Wise men said that. Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear, will increase in learning. A man of understanding will obtain the wise counsel. You know, One thing I've noticed, I've been writing some books called Proverbs, and one thing I've noticed about the book of Proverbs is that there are three main things in there that preface everything else. They come before everything else. And they're knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Knowledge, in simple definition, is acquired facts. You can have knowledge and not have any understanding or wisdom. Understanding is seeing the facts in right perspective. You can have knowledge and understanding and not have any wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to respond properly to the facts that you see in right perspective. So where are we going to get all that? Get it from God's book. That subject of knowledge and understanding, wisdom, they are so often referred to in book of Proverbs. So where can I get all that? You get it from the Bible. And I will say this about Proverbs. If Proverbs were the only book you had of all the books in our Bible, you would have enough information in Proverbs to live a good Christ-honoring life if that was all you had. Knowledge. We have a responsibility to seek knowledge. I can't elaborate too much on that. I don't have time. But we're exhorted to seek knowledge. Study to show thyself approved unto God, Paul said, 2 Timothy 3:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Study. Anyway, God exhorts us to seek understanding. Pray for understanding. Read the Bible for understanding. Pray for wisdom. And so, see, the world cannot counsel us. We need counsel, but the world can't counsel us. The Bible said in Isaiah 30, verse 1, woe to the rebellious children that take counsel, saith the Lord, but not of me. You know what that word woe means? Trouble. Woe in the Bible means trouble. On the human side, somebody told me years ago, said that's why God named Eve woman. Woe, man. Come, man. I don't know if there's any truth in that or not, just what I share with you. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know why? They don't know how to counsel us. They're going to have a bad influence on us. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. You know, there are two kingdoms in our world, and only two, really. In the final analysis, only two kingdoms in our world. There's the kingdom of righteousness and the kingdom of darkness. And we have those struggles. We see those struggles taking place often. Every time we have a presidential election, it's really a kingdom of darkness, angel of light. And the simplest terms it would be. I feel sorry for psychiatrists. I feel real sorry for them because they spend several years getting a degree. Get all their grades taken care of, everything behind them. Go out and hang out of shingle and start practicing psychiatry and don't have a clue about human nature. You know why? They haven't read the right book. The person that wrote our book knows human nature more than anybody in the universe. God. He tells us how to do a lot of things right. It's not part of my lesson, but I had a preacher out of Missouri that asked me. He had four little boys. And he said, what can I do? One raised his voice. I said, what can I do? I said, read the book of Proverbs and do what it says. Yeah. You know why? Because God knows human nature and he knows how to deal with human nature. But most people, they don't. Most parents in America have no idea how to deal with this matter that human nature their kids have. And the worst mistake and failure in American history is the failure of parents to teach their kids about the God of their fathers. We're reaping right now in our society the results of parents that have not taught their kids about the God of their fathers and taught them righteousness. And the God, can you reap what you sow and so forth? They're not teaching their kids that. These kids are growing up now and know nothing. They don't want to think about God. Some of them have never heard about Jesus. Can you imagine that in America? Their children have never heard who Jesus is. I suppose there's some problems like that. Anyway, there is the kingdom of darkness. There's the kingdom of light. Psychiatrists try to help us with. Listen. You go to psychiatrists about guilt. Probably was going to tell you, what do you feel guilty about? Well, I did something real immoral recently. Psychiatrist says, well, what do you think of Jim Moore? You know, everything's wrong. Well, the reason why you feel guilty is because somebody's told you that that's bad. If you don't think it's wrong, it's not wrong. That's relative to thinking, you know, relative to thinking. Relative to thinking, folks, is a dead end street. You know, they say there's no absolutes. So, you mean there are no absolutes? That's right. There are no absolutes. Now, wait a minute. You are telling me there are no absolutes. Absolutely, they say. There are some absolutes, even the people that don't think there are any absolutes. As a matter of fact, if you don't think the way they do, you are wrong, buddy. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever thought about this? I believe that the sunlights, the adulterers, the fornicators, the atheists, the liberals, same-sex marriage people, transgender, all these people have one thing in common. And it's this. They are insecure in their philosophy and their lifestyle.
Right.
The reason I say that is they hate you because you're not what they are. They can't live because they can't stand it because you're not what they are. Listen, I slept good last night knowing their atheists are in this country. Sodomites around this country. But they don't rest good knowing I'm not one of them. They hate God's idea for marriage. You know why? They're insecure in their same-sex marriage idea. Could you agree with that? Can you agree with that?
That's right.
I finally thought of something profound about this. You know, Hollywood, California. I understand. You know, the people in Hollywood are the envy of a lot of Americans. Maybe even the majority. Because they have prosperity, popularity, prominence, power. They have what Americans want, largely. Well, I'm not talking to you and I, I'm talking about a lot of Americans.
Yeah.
Do you know what? They say that some of the most miserable people in the world. And they have more psychiatrists per capita probably in California than any city in the world, I understand. They say if you live in Hollywood and you don't have a psychiatrist, you're crazy, man. Everybody can have one. Oh, my. You know, most of our educators, policymakers, and commentators, and legislators are people that walk in darkness. They have no idea about what I'm talking about here this morning. And you know what? They're the ones who are telling us how to run our schools, how to rear our children, how to run our families. They put themselves in a position to tell us how to live, even how to run our churches. And they don't have a clue about what the real issues are. Anyway, by the way, I am impressed that the House finally chose a man that at least claims to be a Christian. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. There had to be a lot of prayer behind that because that wasn't what happened. They dismissed two or three fellows that would have been fairly good, in our opinion, for that position. But they voted, someone voted against them and they didn't get voted in. And then all of a sudden, they all voted for a man that had a Bible on his desk and talked about God. Oh, different folks. So we're not accustomed to that. What are we going to do? Oh, my. But anyway, I said, this man who's blessed, there's some reasons. He doesn't see the counsel of the wicked. And something else, he doesn't seek the companionship of the world. Verse 1 said, "No, standeth in the way of sinners." I believe there's a lot that goes along with that. I mean, a lot can be said about that. In other words, he companies with them. He stands with them. See, God's concerned about who we spend our time with. And I'll give you a good reason in just a moment. The Bible said in Psalm 19, verse 115, "Depart from me, evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God." That was David. Or at least I think it was David said that. In Proverbs 13:20, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." There's some reasons God says that. Proverbs 14:9, "Fools make a mock at sin." So what is a fool? He's someone that makes a mock at sin, for one thing. Bible said in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said, sharp the tongue of God. Psalm 53, 1, the fool has said, sharp the tongue of God. Corrupt, but they have done a bondage when they do this time to do it good. And other verses as well. But God's concerned about who we spend our time with, because evil associations pull us down. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Now that's a statement of fact, folks. It didn't say most of the time, majority of the time. It means 100 times out of 100 that's what happens. I can almost hear someone say, when I say something like that, it wouldn't pull me down, I can take care of myself. But God says, no, you can't. Or I wouldn't have told you that.
Yeah.
See, let me put it like this. You remember the example of Amnon, one of David's sons. He was in love with his sister Tamar. He had a crush on his sister Tamar. His half-sister, really his half-sister. And he was all down in the mouth about it, but to his credit, he had not done anything wrong toward his sister Tamar until his friend put something in his head that he never would have thought of. He had a friend whose name was Jonadab, a very subtle man. And old Jonadab came upon Amnon one day, and he said, what's the down in the mouth about it? He said, well, I love my sister, but I mean, she's my sister. I can't have a sister. Said, you know what Jonadab is? He said, aren't you the son of the king? Can't you have what you want? So he put a scheme in his mind, and he ended up raping his sister Tamar. And then he hated her. And by the way, that's the way that goes. And he hated himself for what he had done. And his brother heard about it and said, I'll kill him if it's the last thing I ever do. And 2 years later, he made good of it. Well, Absalom killed his brother, cold blood. But anyway, here's what I was going to say. Influence, I'm trying to get this right. I hadn't thought about it before. Influences. Maybe I'll come back to it. Anyway, he doesn't have a critical tongue. Not only does he not seek the companionship of the world, he doesn't have a critical tongue, according to verse 1. Nor sinneth in the seed of the scorn. Oh, I just thought of it. Your affiliations will affect your affections. And your affections will determine your actions. And here's why I say that. Just to use the illustration of a young man that comes to church. He's a fine young man. He brings his Bible. He's very courteous. Comes to every service. He's a Christian young man. But then you begin to notice he's cooling. Then he begins to miss a service here and there. And then more services. And finally he's out altogether. And you find out that he started affiliating with someone that brought bad influence on him. And that affiliation affected his affections. His affections changed what he wanted to do. And his affections determined his actions. And that can happen to us, not just to a young person. I've seen young couples over the years, again, affiliated with another young couple. Next thing you know, they're doing some things they're not supposed to be doing. Because they're affiliations. And God talks about that in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. But he doesn't have critical tongue, according to verse 1. And my last part of it there. That word scorn means to despise, disdain, or criticize. Notice there's something progressive about this. He walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners, nor does he have a critical tongue. The opposite is true if he does the opposite. He gets counsel from the world. He stands in the way of sinners. He ends up being like the world. A lot said about that. By the way, God has a lot to say about the tongue, folks. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are the power of the tongue, and they that love shall be the fruit thereof. Proverbs 26:20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there's no tail, there the strife ceases. I don't know if you know about it up here. I hate to broach the subject, but down south we have people that gossip. And they never heard of gossip up here. But we hear it down there. And sometimes it causes a lot of trouble. And I understand gossip sometimes can cause loose teeth. Loose tongue causes loose teeth. God has a lot more to say about the topic that I'm getting across here this morning. But in James 3:2, for many things were offended, all offended, and offended not, and were the saints of perfect, how they were also brought to the whole body. James 3:6, the tongue's a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members that are defiled of the body, and set upon fire the course of nature, and set on fire of hell. James 3:8, but the tongue can no man tame, is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Those are very terse terms, folks, and they're painful terms, but they're true. And a lot of others that I can integrate in the picture there. But notice, he does have a good concept of the Lord's God, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. You know what our problem is today, by and large, folks? We don't have as much delight for the law of the Lord as we'd like to have, as we'd like people to think we do. We were consumed with delight in the Word of God to make more difference in our lives. And the average congregation doesn't. The word delight means joy, means rapture, means a high degree of pleasure or enjoyment. There are not very many Christians that can say, boy, that's the way I feel about my Bible. Most Christians that read their Bible read it because they're supposed to. And the truth is that to some degree that's true of all of us. We read it sometimes because we're supposed to read it. We're supposed to study it. The psalmist said in Psalm 19, verse 161, princes are persecuted without a cause, but my heart stands at them in awe, A-W-E, awe of thy word. That means very impressed with the word of God. Awe. Reverential fear is what it means. And in Psalm 19, verse 97, oh, how love I thy law, it's my meditation all the day. You know what the psalmist said? Man, I think about it all the time. I think about the Word of God all the time. So it's, well, isn't that enough to drive you crazy? Listen, in our world, it'll keep you from going crazy. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't think about the Word of God all the time, but I will tell you this. My wife says, I have no problem going to sleep. She says, you lay down, put your head on the pillow, say goodnight, and start snoring. She says I snore, but I only have her word for it. Yeah. But I got to place. I just don't believe it. I stayed awake and I'd see whether I'd snore. I didn't snore, did. But if I ever had trouble going to sleep, here's what I do. I start somewhere in the Bible on verses I know and start reciting them. And you know what? The next morning I could never how far I got. Like, I'll start with John chapter 1, verse 1, you know. Every verse I know in the book of John, and I never can remember how far I got. Which is true. Meditating on the scripture. One morning, and a lot of times when I'm waking up in the morning, I'm halfway, half asleep for a good while. It works that way. And I'm thinking about scriptures. One morning, I created a four-point sermon, alliterated sermon, from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, 29, 30, and 30 and 31. A four-point sermon alliterated. When I woke up, I put it on paper and preached it on Sunday. And I wasn't totally awake. I'm not saying that except to say this. The more time you spend in the Word of God, the more time you're going to meditate on it, and the more you're going to think about it. And when you don't have anything to think about, that's what you think about. The psalmist said in Psalm 19, verse 128, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. By the way, you're not a healthy Christian if you don't hate the false way. And I can tell you how much you love righteousness if you can tell me how much indignation you have for unrighteousness. And you can't love righteousness and not have indignation toward unrighteousness. You can't do that. Psalm 119, verse 127, therefore I love thy commandments above gold. Did you get that? How about Job 23:12? I esteem the words, his words. The words of his mouth, more than my necessary food. Well, you have to be spiritual to do that. And I've heard from missionaries telling about the people in the Iron Curtain countries years ago when those little communist satellite countries, you know, were connected to Russia. And they couldn't have any Bibles, and they couldn't have a church or anything. And some of those people that were Christians said the greatest hunger we had, even though they were on a starvation diet, they said our greatest hunger is for the Word of God. when they're living on a starvation diet for their bodies. Our greatest hunger and most painful hunger we have is for the Word of God. Now, I can only imagine that because I've never had to deal with that. But here's something else he does. He contemplates or meditates, verse 2, my Lord, we meditate day and night in his law. Meditation, you know, that's something that it's almost past, it's almost history. The devil has been so successful in stealing our meditation time. I will tell you this, if you're going to have meditation time, you're going to fight for it every day, because the devil makes a bid for it every day. And I'll tell you this about meditation. There are some things you'll never know about God, regardless of how much you read, how much you memorize. You'll never know about God unless you meditate. It gives the Holy Spirit an opportunity to teach us some things about God that we would never know otherwise. I noticed this, and you probably noticed this, wherever you go today, these days there's noise. Most any restaurant you go in, they have plays of music. It's not the kind you want to listen to. A lot of times it's that jungle-y stuff. You can't even digest food with it. My wife and I were in one, and we've had some experiences along that line, but I remember one in particular. They had this jungle beat music going, and she and I, with another fellow sitting over there, were the only customers in there, and I called the waitress over. I said, ma'am, would you please turn that music down? She said, oh, thank you, thank you. I've had a headache all day, or all morning, and she works there. She couldn't do it. But a customer wants it done. She goes over and turns it down. This little miniskirted gal came out behind the counter, but she was mad. She turned it up louder than it was before, and I said, let's say turn it down. And Christian love said, my wife said, honey, let's go. We don't have to stay here. She talked me into leaving. I regretted it ever since. It was about to get interesting. But I'll tell you this. If you're ever in a restaurant, they have nice, pleasant music going. Do what I've done. Help.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. And we're in a restaurant out in Minnesota, and they have just quiet music going. Pleasant music. The restaurant's full of people. I said to the waitress, I said, come over here. She came over, and I said, can I speak to the manager, please? She said, is there something wrong? I said, no, there's nothing wrong. I just want to speak to the manager. A lady came over back for us and said, ma'am, I want you to know that we really appreciate the music in your restaurant. And there are a lot of people out here that do, but they won't hit you. Because they think of it like that jungle beat stuff.
Yeah.
I said, a lot of people won't tell you that, but I will. And she really thanked me for that. And I have an idea it made a lot of difference in the kind of music she could do in that room. Anyway, I'm not going to get finished with this, but what about the results of righteous living? Verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I like that verse, don't you? Whatever he does, he's going to prosper. You know what that means, essentially? It means he's strong. It means he's fruitful. He brings forth fruit in the season. It means he's consistent. His leaf does not wither. You know, we'll be Christians 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. But we don't bear fruit every day. Fruit comes in seasons. For churches and for individuals. I'd like to elaborate on that. I don't have time. And according to that verse, he's prosperous. Well, it's very good for us. But let me just hit this and I'll be finished. Everything I've said about the godly and the righteous is not true about the ungodly. Verses 4 through 6, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Three things. They never know the blessing of God. They never know what happy and prosperous is all about. They're not blessed. They're not joyful. They're not strong. They're not fruitful. They're not prosperous. And anything else you want to add to that. According to verse 5, they are condemned. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment. You know what that means? They're not going to have a good life here. They're not going to have heaven either. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. They never know the blessing of God. They live under condemnation and die that way. And verse 6 says, they perish. But the Lord knoweth where the righteous, but the wicked of the ungodly should perish. You know, we really haven't gotten a hold of that. When I say we, I'm thinking about myself and all of us. What that really means, let's stand up to the Lord. He's going to perish. He's not saved. I'm far as far as I know he's not. And a lot of people on the street through here, they're going to perish. Perish means, that's a terrible word here. They're not going to die without Christ. They're going to go to hell. And they'll lay the fire eventually. Anyway, does anyone have a comment you'd like to offer? Question you'd like to ask? Well, if you have any questions, the pastor's sitting right up there. Anyone have any comments? Your son's school teacher. You have some comments, don't you?
The message.
Thank you. Somebody else started to say something.
Well, good message too, but
I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
Good message.
Oh, thank you. No questions? Richie, you have some things to say. You might add something to this.
I can't think of a thing to pray for the Lord.
Well, I must be a good teacher.
Amen.
No, all right, Father in heaven, thank you, Lord of God. We bless our service, Father, with this. And that Jesus would get glory from it. And I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I put on time, buddy. I put on time.
Let's go ahead and top that off by reciting Psalms chapter 1. Can we do that? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornfuls. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He's right in the tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are as the chaff that the wind bloweth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Lord, bless you. I pray to the Lord. That was rusty.